بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله وفضل الكرم فالله سبحانه وتعالى We will discuss tonight, inshallah, a majlis that Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Alayh had conducted, in which he spoke about Husni Adab. Adab, Adab is a plural, which means etiquettes, manners, good habits, good morals, correct behavior. So this is called adab. The actual, in Arabic, the word adab is derived from the word ma'duba. Ma'dubatun means to call people towards a meal, to invite people towards a meal. Ma'duba is actually the dasarkhan, or the table on which there is variety of food, different types of delicacies, different types of food. So the word adaba in Arabic, if you say adaba rajulu, it means a man who invited others towards a good, nice, scrumptious meal, this variety of food. Good manners, adab, is derived from the same word ma'duba, which means we are being invited, we are being called towards the good akhlaq, good morals, good virtues, which Islam commands us to carry out. Good manners, good etiquettes, the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves, the morals that we portray, the decorum. So all these things in Islam, it is as though we have, like a person goes out and he invites others to a meal and his variety of food. And each one is so delicious, like that there are so many traits and characteristics and habits, noble habits, which Islam offers. And we as Muslims should inculcate these type of qualities in ourselves. We talk about akhlaq and adab. Very similar in meaning. Most of the times, we concentrate on our salat, our zakat, hajj, ibadah, and of course we should be doing so. But when it comes to social etiquettes, conduct, behavior, then we fail miserably in this aspect. So Hazrat Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, therefore he mentioned a whole majlis on this, or a very brief majlis it was, and various other majalis of his he brought in different aspects of adab and etiquettes. It is mentioned that having knowledge, ilm of deen we are talking about, having knowledge of deen without etiquettes. Person has acquired knowledge, but he's got no politeness, he's got no manners, he doesn't have good behavior, then it is just like, ulama say, it is like fire without any wood. So for a person who requires a fire to burn for a long period, he has to add charcoal or wood into it. So the knowledge he has is not sufficient. Would that he should have good akhlaq, good adab. And also they mentioned that if a person has etiquettes only and no knowledge, there is like having a ruh, a soul without a body. So therefore we understand a person should have knowledge and he should have adab and etiquettes. Both these go hand in hand. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that a father or a parent has not given his son any better gift than good etiquettes and manners, good adab. In this verse that we mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ, it's from Surah Hujurat in the 26th para. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses an episode that took place. There was a group of people from the Bani Tamim tribe that had come. And they came to Madina Munawwara at such a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left the masjid and he had already gone into his house. These people came, they had some work, whatever it was. Instead of waiting politely for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to emerge from his home at the appointed time when he would emerge, they began shouting from outside his house, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj ilayna. At the top of their voices, they're calling out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, come out to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna alladhina yunadunaka, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people who are shouting out and calling to you, min wara'il hujurat, from outside the quarters, the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would reside in the different wives' homes. Sometimes would say that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, sometimes was Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. So like that, these were the quarters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people came from outside and they began shouting, يُنَادُونَكَ مِن وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Allah says, most of them have no intelligence whatsoever. In Urdu they say, بَيْوَقُوفْ لَوْهِ. They've got no brains, they've got no sense. وَلُوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. Allah says, if only they waited, they had patience, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ, until you emerge and you go to them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, it would have been far more better for them. So Hazrat Mawlana Wasila Rahmatullah mentioned this verse, and then he went on to mentioning Mansab Risalat ki Adab. You see, Rasulullah SAW has a position, a very high position. And we as the Ummatis of Rasulullah SAW are compelled by Shariat to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that position and respect the position he deserves. And the etiquettes that we should be displaying, even after his demise, ulama have written, when you go to the Rosa Mubarak and you go make As-salatu as-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, then too a person should have or follow the etiquettes, the adab, as though when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive and people would sit with him, the manner in which they would talk to him and conduct themselves in a very soft and polite and a kind manner, those sahaba who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then like that also when you're giving our salam, we should not be screaming on the top of our voices. Allah forbid, what is happening today is something that we cannot explain, with people taking their cameras and people are with their cell phones. Really, it's absolutely disrespectful what's happening. It is so difficult to even make salam peacefully. Can we imagine what Rasulullah must be going through there? When we are the ummatis, we are going to present ourselves. We've got no manners whatsoever, no etiquettes. Nonetheless, in the Surah Hujurat, ulama explained that there is so much of adab Allah Ta'ala mentions. Among the verses, Allah even talks about lowering your voice in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person should not raise his voice. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi, wa la tajharu lahu bil qawl, kajahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbata a'malukum, wa antum la tashkurun. Do not raise your voices above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't talk to him like how you shout to at one another and you normally converse with your friend, lest your a'mal become destroyed and you don't even know and realize that your a'mal is being destroyed. And tahbata a'malukum. So it's such a serious offense. When this verse came down, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he began to whisper to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala also, he spoke so softly, the Mufassirin write that Rasulullah SAW had to ask him to repeat what he is saying. They were gripped with fear. They were so scared that we are going to raise our voice above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our a'mal must not become destroyed. Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu was an orator amongst the Sahaba. He had a natural loud voice. And he would deliver khutbahs. So naturally he had a good loud voice. When this verse came down, there's some narration that say that he was absent from the masjid, he remained at home. He locked himself in his house. After one or two days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realized Thabit is not around. Where is he? Go and check, see, maybe he's not well. The Sahabi goes, Thabit is not even answering. Finally, when they get him to speak up, he says, I'm so scared that this verse came down, and these people who have raised their voices above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in Jahannam. So I am amongst those people, I'm the inmates of Jahannam now. So the Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, this is Thabit Singh. He said, no, go and tell him he is not from the people of Jahannam. In fact, he is from the people of Jannah. So fortunate, he got Basharat from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He couldn't help it, it was a natural loud voice that Allah Ta'ala had given him. He was not doing that deliberately. But still they showed so much of respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says, "Man tahawana bil adab uqiba bi hirmani sunan." See, adab, etiquettes, as we mentioned, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi has written a whole kitab, which I have here, Adabul Mu'asharat, in which he discusses adab, etiquettes of different aspects of deen. For example, adab of salam, how to make salam, the etiquettes, adab of musafaha when you shake hands, adab of a gathering, adab when we are meeting one another, the etiquettes when a person is a guest at somebody's house, the etiquettes of making khidmat, of giving a gift, receiving a gift, training over children, etiquette of taking a loan, etiquette of visiting a sick person, etiquette of going for ta'aziyat when we go to console a person who has lost any family member bereaved, the etiquettes of eating, the etiquettes of visiting the toilet, istinja, etiquettes and adab with one's parents, etiquettes with one's teachers. So there are so many things which we don't even realize. I'll just very briefly mention a few. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had ordered that while eating in company, one should not take two dates at a time without having obtained the consent of one's friends. We go to some person's house and they come with a tray of dates or it's some chocolates, whatever it is. So if we have 5-6 people and they come with a platter of dates and they offer it to us, so we have got no business to take two. Each person should just take one. Now this is an etiquette which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. After each person has taken, then if you still wish to have more, then you seek permission and then you take. Now we've got a very bad habit. Even in nikahs and in the masjid, when you have this some program, and somebody giving some sinni, and the person will go from one door and he'll take that box, some the chocolates from the little boy standing outside, or the dates, and he'll take, I've heard myself in this masjid many years ago, he took for himself, he took for his grandmother must be, for his uncle, for his wife, for his children, the poor child standing with the text, box of text, and this uncle was taking 5-6. Yet he's such a wealthy person. Then they'll come out, come into the masjid and go from the other door where the other youngster is standing. This is being greedy. Where is our adab? Where's our etiquettes? As though we didn't see any chocolates in our life. Now it might seem that it's something very light, trivial. No. These are mannerisms, these are etiquettes which Sharia teaches. So sad, so sad. We don't like mentioning this. We are also guilty of ourselves. We don't have this mannerism. We don't have these traits. And therefore I'm mentioning this so that I can inculcate these good, noble habits and etiquettes into my own life first. But we just are blind to these things. Imagine today when the non-Muslims, when they behave with such etiquettes which our Quran and Hadith mention, and we don't have this. There are so many people who tell me that we're having a business meeting or we're having a meeting. So according to the meeting, the conduct of the meeting, we should be switching off our cell phones. But we'll take our call and we'll make our different other transactions. The non-Muslims will look at them, bewildered, shocked. This is how you behave. Then when we go to some person's place, wherever it is, we'll park as we wish. We own the road. We don't care. And therefore we find Islam is not spreading as how we would like it to spread. I mentioned on Friday the story of that Imam. Just on his truthfulness, how the person had embraced Islam. Or the person was testing the honesty of the Imam. So this is called Mu'asharat. So when a person has been offered, Take one. And if there is still more, and imagine only if there's five of us, and we go to some person's house, and the person had seen this five, and he gives five dates. Now you took two. So obviously one person is not going to get. How embarrassing when everybody took and the tray goes to him and there's nothing left. It's embarrassing for the host also. So if there is extra, and then if you want to take one more, then you take permission from the others. This is called etiquette. This is called adab. Rasulullah said that the one who eats raw garlic and onions should remain aloof from us, since the odor would be annoying to others. Rasulullah did not allow the person who ate raw garlic and onions to come into the masjid. He says because the angels also get taklif. Person will belch, he'll burp. It has an odor. Now we don't bother. As long as we had a good nice meal. Now this is what Sharia tells us. And that is why we find on a Friday, it is Sharia exhorts us to take ghusl. In the time of Rasulullah, the masjid was small. In the hot days of summer, and the Sahaba had clothes made of wool, they would come from very, very far places. From the farms they would come. And there were so many gathering there. So a time came when Rasulullah realized that this perspiration of so many people gathering together is causing some taklif. And then he exhorted the Sahaba to take ghusl on a Friday, to apply itar, to apply oil, to wear nice clean clothes and come. So this is Sharia teaching us your manners or etiquette. When a person visits a sick, I have got friends who are doctors who repeatedly complain. Maulana, please speak to the people about these things. It is not visiting hours. And we all barge into the hospital. All of us do that. And we go in there and we'll sit and we'll chat and make such a big din. We don't even bother whether those nurses have to see to that patient. There are other patients sleeping there. It may be a general ward, not even a private ward. And even if it's private ward, you go in when it is visiting hours unless you have taken permission. If this family had called you, maybe sometime emergency, sometime they call some Maulana for some dua, whatever it is. So if you have taken permission, that's a different matter. We had gone once to see some person. I'm telling you, there's no lie. We had gone, we sought permission from this nurses who were there, and already you could see they were not very happy. So we said, we won't even take a minute, and we kept to that. But in the room, there were already about 5-6 people. The poor man's wife and his other family members, woman, had to stand in some other hall. They hardly even had time with him. And we went, another whole groups were going to see. And then the people decided, let's go see who else is sick in the hospital. Now sometimes they're doing some procedure. Sometimes they're taking the pressure of the person. We don't know what they have. Sometimes even if it is visiting hours and the doctor needs to make a call there or the nurse has to change some dressing, so they have got the right. We can't say, no, it's visiting hours. And now we begin to argue with the security official there. This is not right. This is not called Islam. Doctors have told me, really, if we go, people come in there, he says, not non-Muslims, Muslim people who come in there all different times and they make such a big noise. People even have parties over there. The food is for the patient. Poor fellow can't eat, so they start eating the food over there. If you really read the books on visiting the sick, really, ulama, great scholars have written. They say, you must go make, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Allah ta'ala give you shifa, wa alaikum assalam, and out. So short the duration should be. Unless the patient wants you to sit there, there are people who are very depressed, somebody is now passing away, he's got few days left, and there's no hope for him, and he wants some dua, whatever it is, then that's a different matter. We're talking about general visitation of visiting the sick. And we go to the homes also, take permission. That is why when you go for gasht, then we have adab of gasht. You might see the people stand up after maghrib, make i'lan, brothers will go for gasht. Because we don't sit here, so we don't know what's happening. What they do is, they give the etiquette of going out in gasht. That when you go in gasht, you go in pairs. You walk in the road, you don't walk in 5-6, just any kind, like how friends go, you walk in pairs. The moment people see that, they see a beautiful way these people are walking, it immediately attracts their attention. Who are these people? When they see jamaats, peril jamaats go, and we have walked with them, then they make pairs.
And whilst you are walking, you're not talking any dunya thing. You're either reading your surahs, you're humrawing to one another, or you're giving the muzakara of the 6 points, right to reach your destination. So when you go for gasht, then they say you go in pairs. And when you go to the home, you never stand in front of the door. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you visit any person, whether it be for gush, social visit, or whatever it is, when you go, you don't stand directly in front of the door. You stand on either the right or the left. You knock on the door politely, and you make assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You wait for an answer, or you ring the buzzer once, no reply. After some time, the second time, no reply. Then the third time. We discuss this in the month of Ramadan after Fajr, adab of salam. You don't look inside, perhaps. People who are there in that home didn't expect anybody to just pitch up suddenly by the gate. The woman may not have had a scarf on. They may not be expecting any guests. And suddenly you pitch up and you're looking inside. Now that is their private life and you are intruding their privacy. Therefore you go onto the side. So you don't look at any strange woman that comes. And if some woman appears there who is not your mahram, you lower your gaze. You ask for the menfolk. Ulama say when you're going for gush, you don't give them bayan if there's any woman come there. Any men folk here? No. Okay, please give them our salam. Jamaat came from the masjid. We're having a program after Isha. Jazakallah and you out. So ulama have written books. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has written a whole kitab called Adabul Mufrad. Al-Adabul Mufrad. Not the Bukhari Sharif, that's separate. Adabul Mufrad is only on mannerisms, etiquettes. On different aspects of Shariat. So, among those etiquettes that Rasulullah had mentioned, he says, once, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith, he said, I went to Rasulullah's house, I knocked on the door, Nabi said, who's there? He said, Ana, it's me. Nabi said, what me? Ana. You must see who you are. You see, it is Jabir, son of Abdullah, I've come to visit you. Saying me, how must the person inside the house know who's me? It's me. You're causing that person some pareshani. He's busy. He's got no time to now think and play any guessing games. It is you, this person, that person. So you should tell him, this is etiquette, manners. Tell him it is Jabir. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him say it. Make salam and say it is Jabir. I wish to enter. Rasulullah said, that it is not permissible for a person to intrude in the company of two people without obtaining their consent. Two people are busy talking. Now you can make out, sometimes it's a private discussion or sometimes just outside the masjid, it's a casual discussion. So you can make out. You can see the person is gone on one side. There are people who will stand there with the ears pointing towards the discussion, standing like this, exactly like that, looking somewhere else, but they're listening to what you are discussing. Some people have some private masalas to ask. They've got some problems. They are busy talking to some person, getting some advice. Now we just go there, Prophet can't ask the question. Or you, the third person just wants to be inquisitive. All this is against Shariat. Whether it appeals to us or not. This is against Shariat. This is all what tasawwuf is about. These are the things that we have to bring into our lives. This is called adab, etiquettes. So Rasul said that it is necessary to take permission from them. Or you don't just go and barge in there. You don't intrude. Even when a person is sitting, two people are sitting in the masjid, a third person comes, it is not permissible for him to just push his way through and sit in between these two people. He needs to take permission. They need to make some room for him. They need to make some space for him. Especially on a Friday, when the masjid is full, some people come last minute, then they will go over the shoulders of each person from the back until they find some place in the front. Totally against Shariat. And that is why Islam teaches us that when we enter the masjid, try and fill in the first saf first, then the second saf. So if somebody comes in, they're just automatically filling the safs. The problem is we have some spaces in the front, and so the person sees that empty space, And now he wishes to come in there, so now he has to go over everybody's shoulders because people are sitting in the back. So these are all these things that have been mentioned in etiquettes, or some of the things. There's so many other important things. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that, and also as Sa'id bin Musayyib, has Anas radiallahu anhu narrated hadith of different categories that when visiting the sick, one should not remain for a long time. As I explained to you, the visit should be short. This narration indicates the degree to which one should go in, refraining from inconveniencing others. The whole thing is, don't give taklif to any person. You don't inconvenience your Muslim brother and even your non-Muslim person who is living in your locality or is your neighbor. You don't inconvenience the person. You don't give taklif to any person. This is Shariat. You don't even give taklif to animals. You don't give taklif to little insects also. You don't give taklif to children. You don't give taklif to elderly people. We are Muslims. We have a deen. We have a way of life. A beautiful way of life, which we are not displaying, we are not bringing to our lives. And therefore the people are seeing the total different picture of Islam. They are thinking the Muslims have knives and swords in their hand and just bearing people. That's the picture that is being portrayed. If we show true Islam, then as much as the West can try and give a bad image of Islam, they will fail. They will fail. Thousands of people had been attracted to Islam by the way and conduct of Muslims. And many have refrained from accepting Islam because of the manner in which we behaved also. When Rasulullah would come home at night, if it was late, then he would make salam in such a manner, the hadith says, that those people who were awake would hear the salam and those who were asleep would not hear that salam. We go for some program, we come back 12 o'clock in the night, poor wife is sleeping, so we don't bother, we'll shout, "You left any food for me, anything?" Loud, she's fast asleep. So we don't even bother. Or the other people at home, now we are busy making noise and disturbing every person. So Sharia tells us to enter the home silently. And therefore Abdullah bin Mubarak Rahmatullah was mentioning, he says that a person who is laxed about adab and etiquettes, you know what will happen? What will the result be? Uqiba bihirmani sunan. He'll be deprived of sunnah in his life. If you don't have mannerisms, etiquettes in your life, and you continue in this way, and you take those etiquettes to be very trivial and petty, and you don't bother, then a time will come when you'll be deprived of sunnahs. And that person who takes sunnahs lightly, then he'll be deprived of faraid. His fard will be affected. And that person who takes fard lightly, then uqiba bihirmanil ma'rifah, he'll never gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the beginning. Adab, sunnats, faraid, and ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us his ma'rifat. May Allah ta'ala help us to inculcate in ourselves adab and etiquettes. So this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting at that time, or he was busy with his family, and these people came and they started shouting, that come out to us, Ya Muhammad, come out to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they should have remained patient and waited for Rasulullah to emerge. That would have been far better. Then Hazrat Mawlana Wasilullah Rahmatullah says, Andaruni khana aap sallallahu ke mashaghil. Isliye ki aap andar azwaj mutahharat aur digar masturat ko bhi ahkam ilahiya ki tabligh farmate the. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one was his being with his sahaba in the masjid for the whole day, discussing, teaching them deen, and different ayats will reveal that he'll explain to them that, and sometimes they're doing some expedition, and different aspects of Shariat was taught to the people in the masjid. Then there was one time when he'll go into his house. Now that is the time for him and his family. For him and his family. Now what would he do in his own house? It's mentioned in Shama'il Tirmidhi, Nabi Kareem Sam would sweep the house, mend his clothes, milk the goats, and also he would teach the women folk the ahkams of Shariat, of Quran and Hadith. He'll teach them different injunctions, different masail. And therefore we find Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was only 18 years of age when Rasulullah left this world. She had such knowledge of deen, of Quran and Hadith, that great, great Sahaba would come, knock on her door and behind the parda, ask a different masail, which only she knew the answer of, because she was living with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would ask them. Because only they knew those, the answers and solutions to those masail, which are regarding a person's, the inside of his home, his relationship with his wives, and his parents and children, etc. So they would ask them those masail. So when Rasulullah would come home, then besides having time for his family, and eating and drinking, etc., he would teach them Quran, Hadith, different aspects of Shariat. And this is what Wasil Rahman is saying, ke ahkam ilahiya ki tabligh farmate the. Neez aap ghar ke andar apna zati kaam bhi khud kar liya karte the. Masalan, naal mubarak khud si liya karte the. He would mend his own shoes. Bakri ka dood bhi apne dast mubarak se nikal liya karte the. He would milk the goat, etc. Isi tarah jaru bhi dete the. Bas ghar ke andar bhi aap kahan farig rehte the. We get the picture that after he finished masjid, gone home, now he's relaxing. Yes, he would also have some time for rest, but besides that, Hazrat Maulana Wasilullah Ramadan is saying that leave resting. Nabi Kareem hardly rested. And he would be preoccupied with teaching his family, the women folk of his family. Bas ghar ke andar bhi aap kahan farig rehte the. Isliye bulana mana hai. Therefore to call Nabi Kareem from outside now is not right. Somebody is teaching some people. You don't call the person, come outside, we want to ask you something. He's busy teaching. Kaam ki mashghooli ka baar yahan tak pahunchata ki sar par tel lagane ki haajat padti thi. Can you imagine the bojh, the responsibility that was on the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That bojh, the weight of imparting the sharia, making tabligh of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was of such a level. Allah himself mentioned, inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. This Quran is not something light, it's heavy. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this weight on his head. And therefore you find that he would apply so much of oil in his hair. So much of oil. Because of the fact that he should get so tired in imparting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so his head needed to be oiled. He had a separate cloth which he should use just after applying oil, place the cloth, and they say the oil is to come onto that cloth. So much oil he should apply. So he needed to apply oil to his head. Huzur Akhdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke dimaag par bahut zyada bar padta tha. Wahi ka bar alag, taalim ka bar alag, taalim wa tabliq ka bar jo uthata tha, wahi jo uthata hai, wahi janta hai ki usme kitni mashaqqat hai. Only that person who is day and night making tabligh and spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows what a responsibility it is and how difficult it is. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam har waqt taalim aur tabligh mein mashghool rehte the. All the time, this was his job, teaching the people, making tabligh to the people. Ye kaam aasan nahi hai. Aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam usool shariya, sharia ki taalim barabar farmate rehte the. So the same thing he mentioned, that he would teach the women folk the different laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, different ayahs that came down, he would teach the women folk as well. And therefore it was not correct for now somebody to come at that time. So this is a lesson for us. There is a time we could find out what is the resting period time of this person. Can we visit the person at that time? Is it appropriate? Is it munasib or not? Now we have the cell phone, we have other ways of finding out, to find out prior to visiting the person. Is it correct for me to visit you now? Some people sleep immediately after Isha. Not they are lazy or something, they've been working the whole day. And they wake up very early hours for tahajjud. I know some people personally, 2 o'clock in the morning for years, that is the time for tahajjud. So after Isha, the person won't sit for anything, he's gone straight home. Now we decide to phone the person an hour after Isha, he's fast asleep. And then we phone, you're sleeping. People who phone us also. It's the afternoon, they think all the maulanas in the afternoon, they're fast asleep. Astaghfirullah. You want to see what work we'll be doing? Allah knows best. Allah Ta'ala must give us ikhlas and acceptance. One person phoned me, Maulana, you're sleeping. I said, if I was sleeping, how am I answering the phone? How am I speaking to you? Oh, mafaki, I'll speak to you some other time. I said, brother, you phoned me now. What is it? There's no problem. Now, after phoning, now you see I'm sleeping, which is not even correct. Then isn't your sleep every afternoon? And it was something very silly also, the question had no sense. It was some complaint about some other person. So we don't have work. One of the doctors had told me, a person phones him on his cell phone, and these people are busy. They've got operations that they have to do, and they've got other work, and they've got patients, and somebody phones him on his cell phone. Doc, what are you doing? What a silly question. The doc is busy, he's in his surgery, now you ask him, what is he doing? He said, any business of yours? He was upset. He said, any business of yours? Then the person realized. Sometimes, yes, by way of habit, we also say, where are you? What are you doing? So we must try and change it. I also have a habit sometimes, where are you now? Of course, we don't ask anybody. Those people who are family members, we can ask them, where are you? What are you doing? But generally, you don't ask the person, where you are? What are you doing? It's none of our business. Khair, all this is part of adab, part of etiquettes. So we can imagine, make an introspection of ourselves and see how much we still got to achieve in our lives. And the explanation they gave, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. If they only waited until Nabi Akram comes out, after, even if Rasulullah rested, it was qirullah, is sunnat. And the reason for qirullah, according to the riwayat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it helps a person, if a person sleeps for a little while, not to sleep for 2 hours in the afternoon, a few minutes, it gives the person strength to wake up at night for tahajjud. Person sleeps for a little while. We say it's siesta. A little while. Then it gives the person the strength to wake up at night for tahajjud. That's one of the hikmat of qairullah. So, when a person after resting, and after finishing his other work that he has, and now he comes out happily. He's relaxed. His mind is relaxed. And he can see to the person who is in need. But if he's absolutely preoccupied, he's busy, and now you go to see him for whatever work you have, he will not be able to give you that attention that you require. So wait for the person until he's finished. Yeah, unless it is so urgent, it's a life or death, life and death matter, a person is dying, then you've got to go and immediately call the person. That's a different matter. So Hazrat Maulana Wasilam says, in shirahi qalb ke waqt faiz ziyada hota hai. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now relaxed, he's happy, then the fares, the benefit will be far more greater to the people. They'll benefit much more. Then he explains, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we had mentioned so many times, I'll just mention again now, he was a very young sahabi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very young. But because he made some khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, put the wuzu water and his miswak and other necessary things he got ready for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone to make istinja. When he came out, he got so happy to see everything was ready and prepared for him. He asked, who did this? Abdullah bin Abbas said, I did it, ya Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam got so happy, and this is what you say, one is to ask for dua and one is to get dua. Ek dua, kisi se, mangna, or ek hai, kisi se dua lena. Somebody gives you the dua. So he says, Allahumma allimhu al-kitab al-hikmah. Oh Allah, give him the understanding of Quran and Sunnah. He became the leader of all the mufassirin commentators of the Quran. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. So he had such a passion and zeal for learning knowledge, that it is mentioned in the kitabs, and al-hibr, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu كان يذهب إلى أبي في بيته. He used to go to Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. Who's Ubay bin Ka'ab? The Qari of the Zummat. Qari of the Zummat. Master in Quran. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you learn Quran, go to Ubay radiallahu anhu. The same Ubay radiallahu anhu, Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him, Ubay, Allah has told me to teach you this surah. لَمْ يَكُلِ الَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا. He says, our Sammani Rabbi, did mine, Allah take my name Ubay, that you go to Ubay. He began to cry. So the Qari of the Ummat. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, this younger Sahabi, he goes to Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu to learn Quran. لِأَخْذِ الْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ عَنْهُ. فَيَقِفُ عِنْدَ الْبَابِ. He goes to the house and he waits by the door. Doesn't knock. وَلَا يَدُقُّ الْبَابِ. Does not knock on the door. He just stands there, waits. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ. Until after some time, whenever Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu decides to emerge, when he comes out, فَاسْتَعْظَمَ ذَلِكَ أُبَيٌّ مِنْهُ. Ubay radiallahu anhu said, oh Abdullah, why are you doing so? You don't need to do this. Come knock on the door and come inside. Why are you standing there? He says, هَلَّا دَقَقْتَ الْبَابِ ibn Abbas. Now this, Adat Mullah Wasila Ramad has mentioned, and I read it also in Ma'arif al-Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahib Ramad also mentioned this. Lama Alusi in Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, I think, has mentioned this as well. This narration, and he says that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, what answer did he give to Ubay bin Ka'ab? Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu said, why didn't you knock on the door? You just sought permission and come in. فَاللَّا دَقَطَّ الْبَابِ. So Abdullah bin Abbas says, الْعَالِمُ فِي قَوْمِهِ كَالنَّبِيِّ فِي أُمَّتِهِ. He says, an alim amongst his people is just like how a Nabi is amongst his people. Of course, the alim can never become a Nabi. So I'll have to explain this also and clarify it. Otherwise, some person might just take this part and record this part of the majlis and then you get fatwa from everybody. Explanation is, just as you respect the Nabi, Nabi amongst his people, the Nabi teaches the people, he imparts deen. So his qawm have respect for him. And they will not give him any type of taklif. So like that, he said, I do not wish to give you taklif because you are an alim. Abdullah bin Abbas himself was a great scholar. But Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu has knowledge of the Quran more. So he said, you are a senior person, you're an alim. And therefore, I do not want to give you taklif. It will tantamount to like how a person, the people give the Nabi taklif. It's like us giving you taklif, if we give you taklif. Of course, brothers, please, don't again, I'm not an alim, we're just students of deen, so you can disturb us, no problem at all. I mentioned one time, so one person said, Maulana, I don't know, must meet you, mustn't meet you. I said, you are more than welcome to meet us anytime, unless we are in a hurry. So he said, you're always in a hurry. Now, I can't explain to him, I got to go from here, we've got a madrasa, we're running, so we have to be there, and we've got so many other places, so we don't have to tell people everything. Now, people must understand and realize, but please, wallah, I swear, in the name of Allah, I am not referring to myself here. I just happened to see this and I was affected by this majlis of Maulana Wasila Rahmatullahi. And I pondered, I said, Ya Allah, we have got so many things to bring into our lives. And because of our weaknesses, people are not coming closer to deen. People are running away from the masjid. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala, give us the true etiquettes and adab. They say, Ba adab, ba nasib. Be adab, be nasib. This is what we explain the whole majlis is that. If you have etiquettes and good manners, then you will gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will get the jannat. You don't have good etiquettes and manners. And believe me, people don't look at our ibadat. People don't look at our tilawat. People don't look at your zakat and hajj. They don't look at all those things. They only look at your manners and your etiquettes. So may Allah ta'ala cover our weaknesses and cover our faults. These are lessons for all of us. Whether we are teachers, doctors, lawyers, ustads, professors, lecturers, whatever profession, businessmen, we are women at home, ladies, wives, wherever we are, we are always interacting with people, with the society. And therefore we have to implement the correct behavior at the correct time. And then we see, inshallah, how much of benefit we ourselves get. Remember I told you in the beginning, it's like a dasarkhan of food, variety of food, and come and partake of this, like how we have sweetmeats, variety, and how tasty it is, how enjoyable, like that each quality is so delicious. so tasty, so beautiful. So this is what he said, that al-alimu fi qawmihi kan-nabi fi ummatihi. And Allah Ta'ala had mentioned about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people should make sabr until he emerges, so I have done the same. Then either Allama Sayyid Mahmood Baghdadi, Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, or somebody else who narrated this incident said that I had read this story when I was young, and he says, from that time I practiced on this. That whenever it came to seeking knowledge and I had to go to some person, I would wait and I would not just intrude until the person himself comes out. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. And then there's a very beautiful incident. We're not going to go into the very details of other aspects that he had mentioned. He says, Harun al-Rashid, all of you know he was a king, a very pious king, and he had two sons. So he had sent his two sons to Imam Kisai rahmatullah. Imam Kisai was a master in Nahu, a master in Qiraat. His two sons, Amin and Ma'mun. Very short story, inshallah, we'll terminate. So Amin and Ma'mun are the two sons of Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid finds an ustad, Imam Kisai, brilliant scholar. He tells Imam Kisai, teach my sons. Teach them ilm. It is mentioned that one day, as Harun, the ustad, Imam Kisai rahmatullahi alayhi, had finished his lesson with his two youngsters, the two sons of Harun Rashid, Amin and Ma'mun, he wished to wake up and leave. So when he did that, both of them ran to grab his shoes. So both of them are pulling both the shoes, or the pair of shoes. One brother is pulling both, the other one is pulling. Finally they decide, okay, you take one leg, I take the other leg. So one brother took one shoe and the other one took the other. And as they did this, the father happened to enter at that time. And he saw this. So he asked this ustad, who he had appointed to teach his children Deen, Quran, Hadith, Sunnat. He asked him a question. Who is A'azzun Nas, most honorable of the people? So Imam Kisai rahmatullah said, I don't know anybody more respected, honorable than Amir al-Mu'mineen, than yourself. You are the leader. You are the most mu'azzaz person. He said, no. He said, Inna A'azzan Nas, man idha nahada, yuqatiru ala taqdeemi na'lihi waliyya ahdi al-Muslimin, hatta yarda kullu minhuma. أَيُقَدِّمَ لَهُ وَاحِدَةً مِّنْهَا. He says, no. You know who's the most honorable person? That person who, when he stands up to leave his place, then the sons, or the heirs of the throne, the sons of the king, the heirs of the throne actually fight and quarrel among themselves to lift his shoes. He is the most honorable person. So now Imam Kisai rahmatullah thought, maybe Harun Rashid is offended. He felt, I should not have made his sons do this. So he started making excuses. No. Made a mistake. They shouldn't have done this. I didn't ask them. Imam Harun Rashid got very upset. He said, no. I am extremely happy that you have done this. And you have allowed them to carry your shoes. Had you prevented them, I would have become so angry, I would have rebuked you. I would have punished you. He says, this what you have done, you have taught them adab and etiquettes. This is morals. You know, we hear, they're saying, buzurgon ki jutiyon ki seedhe karne se mujhe ye maqam hasil hua. They're making the khidmat of the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah. Allah Ta'ala gave those khadims great positions. They didn't have much knowledge or anything. But because, as you say, putting the shoes right, but please, for Allah's sake, nobody has got permission to put my shoes right anyway. That will give me more taklif. My students in Madrasa know, alhamdulillah, they abide by this rule of mine. They have some brothers who will try that, it makes me very annoyed. So please, just not for, do it for the big buzrugs if you want. Hazrat Rahmatullah was here, you should do it for him. Send Isali Sawa for him. He's mentioned in the kitab, amongst the etiquettes, that Sahaba should not stand up for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned in the kitab. Why? Because Nabi Kareem himself did not like it. So they did not want to give him taklif then. They saw he was not happy, so they did not do that. They were not disrespectful at all, ma'adallah. Sahaba loved Rasulullah. There were times when they would stand up as he emerged and he went away, and they would stand and watch him until he departed, yes. But if they were sitting and then Rasulullah would come, then Nabi Kareem would stop them from standing up. So then they would respect that wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you should understand this more, with more clarity as we read the kitab, inshallah. In all the things we explain, we must have full understanding before we take half up and then we misconstrue things. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu at times he stopped the Sahaba from standing up. He did not want this. It was his tawadu, ghayat of his tawadu, limits of his humility. So then we find that, in fact, another narration I read, another story about same Harun Rashid and his two sons and the Ustad who was teaching them. Harun Rashid enters and he sees that his sons are pouring the water for the Ustad making wudu. He nodded his head, he said, no good. What they should have been doing is pouring the wudu and even washing your feet. For great kings. And they made sure that their sons, their children learn adab and etiquettes. Of course, there's so many things we need to improve in, inshallah, as we go along. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring in the different etiquettes and adab which Shariat has mentioned. In almost every single hadith kitab, we'll find one of the chapters will be Kitabul Adab. Chapter containing, mentioning the etiquettes. And from the Adabu Salam and Adabu Iyadatil Marid, etc. There's a whole, so many thousands of ahadith gathered just regarding etiquettes. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring in adab in our lives. Inshallah, if you get adab, our Hazrat Rahmatullah just told us it now, Hazrat Ari Billah Zakim Sahib from Jusay, adab means etiquette, not come and daab, press my feet. No. We're not talking about that. Adab means bringing this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When a person sneezes, then he should not sneeze loudly. As though some earthquake taking place. Sharia tells a person that lower your voice when you sneeze. Cover your nose when you sneeze. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.